It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA 1.
Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings. Taylor Barrett's in our studios today. We've got some great music. Taylor Barrett joins us and more of your requests coming up. It's another hour that you'll never forget. We welcome Taylor Barrett to Border Crossings. Stay tuned.
I want to see the world and find out what the truth is and chase after a girl that I can't bear the newness. It's who I am. I found it's easier giving up. So I close my eyes, pretend I've never seen the sky, and feel the only things I've ever loved. So if you got an anxious heart, you're not the only one. And I won't let you fall apart if you don't let me run. I've had a few, but I always come out laughing, and I will minimize the cost. But I'm not troubled like a genius, I'm just troubled like a man that's lost. Ooh. And I still remember how it was, when all these questions only served to pass the time, and now it feels like asking ain't enough. So if you got an anxious heart, you're not the only one, and I won't let you fall apart if you don't let me run. Ooh, 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 ooh. And the boy says something's wrong, but the people don't believe. And the wolf comes in the night while your mind is trying to sleep. And I make up ways to steal my joy, then when it's real I don't believe it. And I swear it's just like being the villain is the wolf and the boy. I wanna feel the sun and find out what the truth is, and chase after a girl, 'cause no matter how it breaks me, I can't bring myself to hate this world.
You're listening to Taylor Barrett, who is in our studios. This is Border Crossings. We welcome you to our show today. Taylor is on tour promoting a brand new album, which he's just put out, and I believe it's out right now, isn't it?
It is, yes.
It's already out. As we spoke, it went out.
Just now it went out?
Just now. and it's the debut album. It's called Great Falls.
That is correct.
So tell me about the excitement level right now. You should be pretty stoked because this is the debut album.
Yeah, it's exciting because it's, you know, as a first album for me, it's songs that, it includes songs that I've been writing kind of since I started writing. Mm-hmm. You know, with a lot of folks with second, third, fourth, whatever albums, it's songs from a very limited, you know, time frame. And for me, it's fun because there's songs that I wrote a few months ago. There's songs that I wrote 5 years ago, all on there. So it's exciting. It's finally to finally get to put music out and have people hear it and decide whether they like it or hate it. Hopefully like it.
You have been writing songs, I guess, since you were about 13.
Yeah, that's true.
That's when you wrote your first song.
Yes.
So do you go back now? I assume you're in your 20s. Do you go back and look at what you wrote at 13 and how does it feel when you look at the music you wrote then? Do you say, oh my God, what was I thinking?
Oh, they're terrible. I mean, I look back at songs I wrote like a year ago and I'm like, man, those are really bad for the most part. And I mean, you hope that that's the case because if you look back 5 or 6 years ago and the song quality is about the same, then it's maybe time to get into another line of work or focus your efforts a little more.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's always fun and funny to go back and look at songs when I first started writing songs, because you're really just writing based on what you think a song is supposed to be. And right. so you say emotional sounding words and things that you think that songs are supposed to be about. And it's always fun going back and seeing.
Because the next question I had was about the process. I saw where you were quoted somewhere about a melody comes to your mind. So is it the melody comes first, then the lyrics, or does it change around? Or how do you fit lyrics into a melody and make that work?
You know, it just kind of all depends on the situation. And I think I kind of try to consciously change the process as much as possible, or else they all start kind of sounding the same, mm-hmm. at least for me. So sometimes that is the way it goes, where a melody will come to mind, and then, you know, it might trigger a concept idea for a lyric in the song. But I find that usually, with some exceptions, that it's best when, for the most part, the pieces come together at the same time, where you're kind of building lyrics and melodies, because it doesn't feel like you've tried to cram a lyric into a pre kind of defined melody, or the other way around. Mm-hmm. So generally it starts with either a melodic idea or a lyrical idea, or some chord changes or a rhythm. And then I try and build everything kind of together in pieces, as it goes.
Was it a difficult thing to single out, because this is the debut album and you've been writing for, you know, since you were 13, that's a number of years ago, you're 22 now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you've been writing in that amount of time, and then you're making your statement, you're putting out your first piece of work.
Right.
So how did you come up with the songs you decided to put on your first album?
It's hard, because you have to be able to kind of set aside the sentimental attachment you have to some songs. Like, oh, I wrote this about my first girlfriend, or, you know, whatever it is. And you also have to look at it as a complete album, mm-hmm. and not just, you know, because picking the 12 best songs is one thing, but you don't want an album of 12 ballads, or mm-hmm. You know, something that isn't going to have a flow to it. So, you know, other people's opinions get involved. You know, you try and have folks around that whose opinions you trust and believe in, and so it helps to kind of have other voices coming in and saying, you know, I know you love this song, but everyone else thinks it's terrible, which has happened before.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And I think it happens because when you're trying to make anything, mm-hmm. At a specific time, you have a very specific goal in mind sometimes that you're trying to, you know, I really want to say this. And every once in a while, that specific goal can blind you to the overall quality of what you're making, I think, sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so I'll get really excited about a song because I'm like, oh, I said what I wanted to say, but then the rest of the parts aren't really there. So it's good to have folks around that can tell you that.
And you've worked with some heavyweights, some people who had worked with Rihanna and some of the other, I mean, One Direction, Christina Perry, Ed Sheeran. I'm looking at some of these big names that the support cast behind you have been associated with. So that's got to be great, and a bit of pressure at the same time.
Oh yeah, because you can't cheat anybody, because
yeah.
because it's people that have been around, like real
right.
talented folks, and so they're adjusted to quality, and so you can't kind of slide something by that's not mm-hmm. at the level that it needs to be at, which is really great. It can be stressful, but it's great.
Right.
And you know, like I was saying, like you trust those people because they have a track record of
right.
being worthy of trust.
Yeah, I'm just kind of wondering, do you think that these producers say to Rihanna, that's not a good song?
You
or
know,
to a One Direction, you guys aren't recording that.
It's so funny. I think about that. The one where I always think about it is when you see like the real true classic greats, like, you know, like Stevie Wonder and mm-hmm. like, you know, Paul McCartney, who are just these towering, you know, geniuses of popular music. And then you always wonder when they get out and do these like kind of new records and stuff, if anyone's like, who's going to sit
who's
there
gonna say Paul?
In the booth and be like, Paul, I'm sorry, man, that just wasn't a good take.
That
was really rough. Really rough.
I don't like it,
yeah,
Paul.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe cut the last chorus. Maybe a little too long. I don't know, but I feel like people, if you get to that level, I have to assume that you've gotten there by being able to take criticism like
right,
that. So
right.
I would think that they'd be okay with that, but I don't know.
We're talking with Taylor Barrett, who's in our studios and promoting a brand new album, Great Falls. So with that, we'd like to ask if you'd do a song for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be super. What are you going to play?
Yeah. This song is called The Heat, and I wrote it after a trip that I took up to Boston for the first time, and I wrote all of it on the train coming down back home
right,
to
cool.
D.C., actually.
It was late on a weekend up in Boston in the spring. We were halfway up the stairs to a party in room 43. Passed some girls as they were leaving. Said that room's about 100 degrees. I said the heat I can stand. It's a stand and still a guest to me. Got no place that I can go. Got no money to my name. Got no scars that I can show. Got no bad luck I can blame. And you'd think it would be easy with no place I gotta be. I swear the heat I can stand is a stand and still a guest to me. I was in that college town so I could play a college show. I was sleeping on a couch but stood in the Berkeley that I know. But I kept waking up too early when it was still too dark to see. I said the heat I can stand is a stand and still a guest to me. Got no place that I can go. Got no money to my name. Got no scars that I can show. Got no bad luck I can blame. And you'd think it would be easy with no place I gotta be. I swear the heat I can stand, it's a stand that still gets to me. Well, if you call me, call me again with nothing new to say. I swear I'm gonna lose my mind. I'm gonna lose my mind today. They say, man, take it easy. Enjoy it while you're free. I said the heat I can stand is a stand and still a guest to me. Got no place that I can go. Got no money to my name. Got no scars that I can show. I got no bad luck I can play. And you'd think it would be easy with no place I gotta be. I swear the heat I can stand is a stand and still it gets me. Say the heat I can stand is a stand and still it gets me. I swear the heat I can stand is a stand and still it gets to me.
Wow, like it. Like the sound.
Thank you.
You sound
Thanks,
really
man.
Great. You write a great song, and I understand you're self-taught, you know, musically.
Yeah, I mean, as self-taught as you could be. I learned from just looking up videos and all that stuff.
And
yeah.
You're a video sensation yourself on YouTube right now.
Folks, it's been nice. I mean, people seem to enjoy looking
That's
at some
a good
of the videos,
thing. That's
good.
What you yeah. want. That's yeah. what you're out there for. Now, yeah. did you consider in this whole process as you decided to, you know, become a pro and get out there and release an album that maybe you'd want to go through the TV music shows? Because there's so many of them these days.
Yeah. It's so funny because more than anything, I've when I go home, like mm-hmm. to my hometown and like go to, you know, like some dinner with like family friends or like go to church with my parents or something. That's what people always like, you know, folks who just kind of just casually know that I'm into music. They're always like, why don't you go on American Idol?
Right. Right.
And my thing was that the singing for me, I always considered kind of secondary. Like that was always the thing that I did so that someone would sing my songs. Because when I first started writing them, no one else was around. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I guess I better learn to sing. And so most of those shows are really singing shows, mm-hmm. which for me, I really enjoy, but I always consider myself a songwriter that sings, as opposed to a singer that also writes songs. So it just, I think it's a great thing for a lot of people. It gives them exposure. It gives them a chance to be in front of folks and, mm-hmm. And get that kind of feedback, both from professionals, you know, they've got judges, and then from, you know, fans and people who listen to music, but just never seemed like the thing for me.
Mm-hmm. And you worked with a former American Idol judge, Cara DioGuardi, who
yeah.
was on the show for a little while, for a season. And so, yeah. I mean, was that a good bonding experience for
yeah,
her? I'm sure she had a lot to offer.
Oh, yeah, she's great. And I still am in contact with her all the time. And what's awesome about her is that she is a songwriter. And she comes from that background. And so I'm always sending her songs and getting her kind of feedback, and she is in life the way she was on the show, where she'll say,
she
you know, it's so funny, and you get this with other folks as well, but you're so excited when you first finish something, you're so excited about it that there's no way there could be an issue with it. Like there's no way that there could be anything wrong
right,
with something
right.
that you've just finished. And so I always send it off, and you're always expecting the email back to be, this is the greatest thing, you know, since Hey Jude. Like this is
right,
incredible.
Right.
And Kara's funny because she's just very measured. So you get this email back and be like, I really, really like it. I think the chorus is a little long. And so you're just like, okay, fine, fine, you're right.
Little knife in the back.
Yeah, exactly. Fine, you're right. And then you go back and work on it, and she's almost always right. So,
well, this is a great time for you. I mean, you're getting a lot of positive press. People Magazine has been writing about you. MTV's been talking about you. Yeah, all these very well-known people in the music business are paying attention to you, and that's a huge accomplishment in and of itself. So,
yeah, I mean, to get people to pay attention is a really nice thing. The People magazine thing was funny because as a kid, I always grew up. My mom was always like, that was like her one vice, was she would always go and get People magazine. Mm-hmm. And so more than anything else that's happened to me, like getting a record deal, like any of it, when I was in People magazine, that was like, to her,
reality.
Was like, Taylor's made it. Like
that's
this,
it.
It's, he can now, this is like official, this is his career, like this is the real deal. And I was getting stories from all my, you know, I've got three brothers and you know, their wives and my parents. And, you know, they go to like the magazine rack and they, at like a grocery store, food line, whatever. And then they buy the magazine. They're like, look, this is my brother. Like, I know this guy. This is my son. And without fail, the person's like, it's $2.75. Like, nobody cares. Really, no one cares. It's just like, yeah, whatever.
They probably don't believe her.
You know? Yeah, or just don't believe him, or just like, yeah, whatever.
Right,
man.
Right, right. Well, you know, so, it's great. It's, you know, press is good press. Any press
is good
press.
And it was really, really great. You know? Got a lot of great stuff from that. So
has it always been music for you? Have you always thought about this as a career? Or
it came pretty early. It was always a part of my life growing up. I mean, I even wrote like joke songs in elementary school in the cafeteria and like got friends to sing them. But it wasn't really a thing that I thought, this is something that I want to do as a living. As a kid, I wanted to write books because I read all the time, and I was always writing little short stories. And to me, when I first started doing music, I was like, oh, this is cool. I can maybe, you know, get girls to like me, and I can play Smoke on the Water on the guitar. And and it wasn't until I really started thinking of songwriting as a form of writing that I really got excited about it and started wanting to do it, and started really sitting down and trying to write and craft songs. So that was when, and it was around when I was like 13 or 14 that I realized, like, man, this is what I want to do, what I've always wanted to do, and it kind of has the added element of rhythm and melody and performance and this whole new part of it, as opposed to sitting somewhere and writing. So that was when I got really excited about it and wanted to do it.
And I like that, you know, you were honest about it by saying that I thought it would get me the girls, because that's what most guys.
Yeah, it was just a thing that like you know, when it came time for seventh grade, you could go take the guitar class, you could take marching band, or you could take a chorus. And I was like, it was a very simplistic, childish view of like, well, singing's for girls. And then marching band, I'm going to be too hot out in the Virginia heat wearing a big uniform and a drum or something. So I was like, well, I'll do guitar. At least I can play Metallica songs or something. It'd be like, it was so simple minded and just like not having any sort of like, this is what I'm going to do. And it took a while for me to kind of get into that mode.
And you were inspired by some oldies. So that's kind of interesting that a young guy like yourself would find Stevie Wonder and Paul Simon as the guys that you kind of got inspiration from.
Yeah. And again, as a kid, like you really, at first at least, you just listen to what the people around you listen to. And so in my house, it was coming from my parents who, everything from classical music to Billy Joel and Elton John and then Paul Simon, Stevie Wonder, just because that was kind of their era and the music that they really latched onto. And then in the meantime, I had two older brothers, one of whom was into, you know, a lot of rock stuff, Metallica and like the Foo Fighters. And so I started playing those songs. And then I had another brother who was into a lot of the kind of like 90s, early 2000s, like pop alternative stuff, like Everclear, and that kind of music. And so it was a really cool experience to be in, because it wasn't like our music or our house was full of like people playing instruments, but there was just always music playing, like doing chores on Saturday morning, getting ready for school during weekdays. It was just always playing. So there was just all this music coming in. And so I think that kind of helped to shape a little bit the direction.
In the business, everything has a label, as you mentioned. I mean, in the music business, the broadcast business, everything has to be in a box with a label. So what label does Taylor Barrett put on his music? What do you call what you do?
You know, it's pop music. I think you'll talk to a lot of people who make the kind of music that I do, and they want it to be something like cooler. So they'll say, you know, it's like this fusion of folk elements and blues, but really, it's, if you're making popular music, like that's what it is. I mean, that's what those guys that I idolize were making. It's good. They're making great, brilliant pop music. And so I, you know, I've never aspired to more than that. I'm a singer-songwriter that plays the guitar. Sometimes I don't play the guitar, and like you said, like everyone wants it to be a label. Which is fine. Like that doesn't bug me, but it's hard for me to say anything other than I want to make good
Right.
Pop songs.
And you may want to make country songs one day.
Yeah,
so why
exactly.
put yourself
in
a box?
At some point, I might wake up and decide I want to make country music.
Yeah, but it's great that you know, now's a good time to be a young male, good-looking male singer-songwriter because, I mean, look what Ed Sheeran's done and Sam Smith has done and what's going on right now.
Yeah.
You know, so this is a good place, especially the market's open for an American guy, you know, like a John Mayer, but somebody today doing it.
Listen,
today.
Tell that to the label, man.
All right.
Call
Get him on the phone. Get the label on the phone. All right, Taylor Barrett's in our studio. We're going to ask him to do another song, if you wouldn't mind.
Something. Absolutely.
What's this one called?
This song is called When I Find You, and it's a love song for somebody that I haven't met yet.
There's a truth that no one believes. The love feels what an old love leaves. So we slide into our lonely sheets and look for it every time we're dreaming. And I tend to get ahead of my life. Start picturing a perfect wife. Well, whoever gets us all through the night. Broken hearted from the lonely fight. So you wait and wait and wait and wait. You wait so long and never give up faith. Cause you know your love is out there somewhere. And all you do is wonder. When I'm crying, are you crying too? Have we both been staring at the same cold moon? Is it the same hard life, dear? We've been traveling through. Well, I don't know, but I'll find out when I find you. Yes, I've been in love once before. I made it all the way to the chapel doors. Then I found out what a dial was for. And love to love on the kitchen floor. And I feel good every day I breathe. Though I know I was right to leave, I can't feel whole again suddenly. Without somebody to cover me. So it hurts and hurts and hurts and hurts. It hurts so bad you think it can't get worse. But you know your love is out there somewhere. And all you do is wonder. When I'm crying, are you crying too? Have we both been staring at the same cold moon? Is it the same hard life, dear? We've been traveling through. I don't know, but I'll find out that I found you. And I'm sure that you're quiet. Unless you are not. And I'm ignorant, but I'll deny it. Whenever I meet you, I'll say I knew it. I'll swear up and down that the truth is. When I was crying, you were crying too. And we both been staring at the same cold moon. It was the same hard life, dear. We've been traveling through. That's alright, I'll be fine when I find you. Yeah, I don't mind.
Wow, very nice. Sounding great. Taylor Barrett's
Thank
in
you.
Our studios on Border Crossings. The debut album is called Great Falls. And you were discovered, as I mentioned a little while ago, by SRP Music, the same folks that discovered Rihanna.
That's right.
And so here you are today on tour for the debut album. How's the tour going?
It's been good. I really, really enjoy touring because it just kind of gives you a chance to see a lot of places, meet a lot of people. And the performing element of it just adds more fun.
You like the live stuff. You know? And now finally you have an album out to say, okay, here's my album.
Album. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's something to talk about.
And so tell me, you know, let's talk about the album for a bit. The songs that are on there, you know, you said you wrote a song about a girl you were in love with at a time and, you know, first girlfriend. Okay, let's say that relationship doesn't work out. It ends. Is there a song that comes out of... You know, I mean, song number two is when that one didn't work out. And
right.
Here's the aftermath, the side B.
Yeah, exactly. And it is funny to see how an arc of a relationship kind of manifests itself mm-hmm. with songs at different points in that relationship. And that absolutely happens. I mean, there's songs on there that are about different I use relationships in the loose term of just people you know, anywhere from people that I've dated or just people that I've met, friends, family. And so that has always been the most interesting thing to me is people, just people's stories and how you interact with them and how they enter your life and then influence it and then maybe leave or don't leave. So there's a lot of that on there for sure.
Yeah, so this isn't like a concept album.
This is kind of a little bit of everything going on in your life. Yeah, I just think to do a first album as a concept album, it's just like, you know, no one cares this point. You know, I feel like that's something that you have to earn the right to have people trust you when you go down a very specific lane like that, like a concept. And there have been amazing concept albums, but I just don't think that my first one was going to be the one that's like, you know, I wanted to put out the best songs I could.
And why did you call it Great Falls?
There's a whole bunch of meanings behind it. The simplest of which is that it's a park right by where I grew up in Northern Virginia called Great Falls Park. And it's where the river kind of comes through and there's waterfalls and rapids. And, you know, it's like used to have picnics there growing up. And so it just kind of, we were at the stage where the album was done. We were starting to figure out packaging and marketing and all that stuff. And I had to come up with a name. And so I was visiting home and passed it and thought, oh, that's actually kind of a nice sounding name. And I came to like the different meanings you can pull from the phrase Great Falls. I like that it's kind of a word with a positive connotation followed by one with a generally negative connotation. I like that great can mean anything from great in size to great in quality. Falls can mean anything from waterfalls to a physical trip and fall, a kind of metaphorical grand fall. So it's just like there were so many elements to it. And I also liked that, you know, I have a song on the album, The Village Wolf and the Boy, that's a reference to The Boy Who Cried Wolf. And, you know, Great Falls, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. So it had a little bit of the concept thing, a little of kind of children's stories. So it just there were enough reasons for it to work that I ended up going with it. I like it. I think
you could have called it Potomac Lake Sports because I've been to that park many times in Sterling.
Claude Moore. I could have called it Claude Moore Rec Center.
There you go.
That's true.
I could. A little slice of home, but it is kind of neat, you know, that you come from basically kind of not a music mecca. A smaller town in Virginia named Sterling, and you managed to turn yourself into a musician, a musical career. So does that mean now you're going to have to move to New York or to Memphis or to L.A. where they...
I actually am in the process of moving to Los Angeles right now.
See, I uncovered some dirt.
You did.
On Taylor Barrett.
You did, yeah. and, you know, L.A. is basically Sterling, Virginia. I think it's...
It's sure. Really, if you think of the two...
If you ask anyone from either place, they'll say, oh, yeah, it's just like Sterling.
Well, I love your sound. You really have a great sound. And you know, the inspiration, it's interesting where, you know, you get it from 70s artists. But as you said, most artists, you know, who find inspiration get it from their parents or what they're surrounded by.
Right.
So how does it feel to be when you hear you're inside of a magazine like Seventeen or Teen Vogue, which is, you know, very female-oriented magazine? So you're in the right place. You're hitting the right people.
Yeah. I you know, there are people who look at that anytime that they have a kind of specific demographic that seems to be responding. And there are folks that will kind of distinguish that and say like, oh no, well my music is for everyone. And that's the case, but like, there's no distinguishing between quality of people who want to hear the music. Like I don't, it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter if it's someone's grandma, if it's a 3-year-old, like if someone is responding to it or a certain group of people is responding to it or a certain gender is responding to it. I'm just happy if people are coming to shows and facing the stage, and buying the music, then it really doesn't. I'm just happy about that.
And you're fortunate mom buys people.
Exactly.
She probably doesn't buy Teen Vogue.
She doesn't. Maybe she doesn't. Yeah, probably not. Well, she gets everything she needs in people.
That's it.
She gets
all the news. More?
She gets all the news.
Now, who's your fans? I mean, when you perform in your show now and you're in all these different kinds of magazines getting all this different kind of publicity and you're just getting started with your debut album, who's coming out to see you? Is it the grandmas and the 3-year-olds? Is anyone in between? Who are you hearing from most on your social media sites and whatnot?
It's funny because it a lot of it depends on where you play and when you play. When you go on social media, because of who uses social media the most, it's a lot of like teenage folks and then up to like my age. And then, you know, I played a show in New York last night, and it's fun being able to look out, into a room of people and see, you know, folks who are you know, 20, folks who are 45. Right. And that's always nice because it at least means that you have some sort of appeal beyond just being a pop person or whatever. But like I said, if I was going and playing shows to 300 14-year-olds, that to me would not be any different. Like I wouldn't kind of distinguish that. Like that would be amazing.
Right.
Doesn't bother me. But I'm happy to be able to see that there's at least a range of folks who find something in it. I don't know what it is.
And what's the plan for the next year? What kind of secrets can you, other secrets can you reveal? Are you going on tour with someone? You're going to open for someone? Have you done any festivals and the big giant?
That's all the stuff that comes up next. Now that we've taken the time and recorded the album and finished it and put it out, it's just about finding the right tours and getting in front of the right folks. I'm going to do a boxing match with Taylor Swift in Vegas, where we're going to fight each other to see who can be the Taylor that
I'm sure you will.
Music.
Yeah, I'll pay for that.
Well, she'll win. I mean, she'll win, obviously.
And you get the share of the $300 million.
Yeah, exactly. She'll beat me for sure. you know, I just figure the publicity would be worthwhile. And then I can just live off that for the rest of my career in exile. But yeah, just touring, performing, and like you said, like festivals. We want to do all that stuff. But yeah, it's exciting. I'm just excited to go out and play the songs.
What is the best advice? Who gave you the best advice you ever got, and what is it?
The best advice I ever got. The thing that immediately comes to mind is I remember when I was first kind of deciding to do this professionally and was starting to really focus on it and things were slowly kind of starting to happen. I had a conversation with my dad, and he said, if you were to, by some chance, become the greatest songwriter that ever lived, or the greatest performer, whatever, that would still not be your most important contribution to humankind. And that would be, how you treat other people, who you are to the people around you. And so that to me has always helped keep a kind of, balance as far as what matters the most. Because this is really, really important to me, but it's also a job. And I think if you lose sight of that, then it affects all areas of your life, including your music. I think when you start seeing it as the most important thing, I think it actually can have a bad effect, even on the music itself. So that, you know, I've had a lot of help from a lot of people, but that is the thing that kind of immediately comes to mind.
That's great. And you've opted not to go to college then? You're pursuing this full time?
I'm full time.
All right. Well, Taylor Barrett's in our studios on tour for the new album, Great Falls. We're going to ask if you'd do another song for us.
Absolutely. This song is called Those Days.
Slow down, turn around, tell me what's tearing your heart out, baby. It's amazing that in this slow down ghost town, you could bring it back to life now, baby. Cause you got everything that a girl could want. You got the beauty, you got the smarts. You got a heart that could glow in the dark. You could even beat me at Mario Kart. So slow down, breathe out. Tell me what's tearing your heart out, baby. Cause everybody has those days. Feeling like an ocean, having trouble making waves. And I know what it feels like, wishing you could rewind. Even the sun doesn't come out sometimes, but he'll be back though. Everybody has those days. So just slow down, breathe out. Tell me what's tearing your heart out, baby. Cause in this slow down ghost town, you could help me find my way out, baby. You got everything that a girl could need. A few more years from a college degree. A cold stone cream will be right up the street. And if all else fails, you got me. So please just slow down, breathe out. Tell me what's tearing your heart out, baby. Cause everybody has those days. Feeling like an ocean, having trouble making waves. And I know what it feels like, wishing you could rewind. Even the sun doesn't come out sometimes, but he'll be back though. Everybody has those days. And even when the wind gets colder, it only makes me wanna hold you more and more. That's what these arms are for. And even all the clouds above you, they only make me wanna love you more and more. That's what this heart is for. Cause everybody has those, everybody has those days. Feeling like an ocean, having trouble making waves. And I know what it feels like, wishing you could rewind. Even the sun doesn't come out sometimes, but he'll be back though. Everybody has those days. He'll be back though, everybody has those days. Ooh. He'll be back though, everybody has those days.
Great. Really, really, really great.
Thank
Honestly,
you.
I mean, I really like your sound.
Thank you so much.
Taylor Barrett is in our studios, and MTV says his vocals are so heartfelt you can't help but be sucked in. People Magazine said his debut album will have listeners falling hard, and I can certainly understand and agree with what they have to say about you.
Thank you.
Because you got the goods, and maybe, just maybe, Jake Gosling, your producer, will, who's worked with Ed Sheeran and One Direction, will get you on tour with those guys, because that seems to be a great ticket to being seen by a lot of people.
Oh, yeah,
pretty fast.
Absolutely.
But I thank you for coming in. Now, if people want to reach out to you or check out your website, give us your... Where you are. Where do you live?
Yeah, everything. The easiest way to find me is if you just put my name into the internet.
That's it.
It's Taylor Barrett. Everything, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I'm on all that, and it's all just Taylor Barrett.
And there's two R's and two T's.
Yes, it's B-E-R-R-E-T-T. Instead of the, usually with Barrett, you see B-A, and our family must have offended the B-A Barretts at some point. They disowned us. But, yeah.
So you are on Facebook, I'm sure, Instagram, all those places.
Yeah,
so
all
go
that
find
stuff.
Taylor Barrett
Absolutely.
There. Absolutely. And check out the tour schedule. Any international touring plans?
Not yet. I did the album over in the UK and have played a couple dates over there, and would love to get over there and play, and really anywhere. I mean, I'd love to see more of the world.
And so. I read you made it in a month. Which is pretty. That's a short amount of time to make
an
album.
It was a couple months. But we can say a month.
Why not?
It makes me look better.
That's it. Work hard.
Yeah,
long hours.
1 month. It's incredible.
Taylor Barrett, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
The new album is called Great Falls. It's now out. Go out and get a copy for yourself. This is Larry London, and you are listening to Border Crossings on the Voice of America.
It's Border Crossings on VOA 1.
Border Crossings continues. All your favorite requests and dedications. Babulal Mubudi requested this song, Linkin Park, and Burn It to the Ground.
Falling to the ground. sirens keep on driving, flashing light. Oh, what a night. I miss your bed. I lost my head. And it's sonic. Where's the running? For the roof. The power lost. I'm barefoot naked. Don't you let me.
As I went walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway. I saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me.
This land is your land. This land is mine.
Footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond deserts, while all around me a voice was sounding. This land was made for you and me.
This land is
came shining, and I was strolling, the wheat fields waving, and the dust clouds rolling, the fog was lifting, a voice was chanting, this land was made for you and me.
This land is yours.
That's a song from Pete Seeger, This Land Is Your Land, one of the all-time great American folk classics, and a request from Jan, who listens in Holland. Jan phoned in, and you can phone in as well, 202-619-2077, our studio number. You can always email bordercrossings@voa.gov, or if it's easy, you can go to facebook.com/VOA Larry London and post your message and request there. And don't forget, starting on Monday, we begin to give away the Now 55 CD, so you've got to enter the contest. If you want to win, send an email to bordercrossings@voa.gov or go to facebook.com/VOA Larry London. Send us your postal mailing address, how we can ship out the prize to you if you're selected. And the winning begins on Monday's show. Here's a request from Anne Marie, a longtime listener to Border Crossings. It's Dolly Parton and Jolene.
what you can. Your beauty is beyond compare, with flaming locks of auburn hair, with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Your smile is like a breath of spring, your voice is soft like summer rain, and I cannot compete with you, Jolene. He talks about you in his sleep, and there's nothing I can do to keep from crying when he calls your name, Jolene. And I can easily understand how you could easily take my man, but you don't know what he means to me, Jolene. Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 please don't take him just because you can. You could have your choice of men, but I could never love again. Jolene, I had to have this talk with you. My happiness depends on you and whatever you decide to do, Jolene.
London on VOA 1's Border Crossings.
All my girls at the party, look at that body, shaking that thing like you never did see. Got a nice package, alright, cause I'm gonna have to ride it tonight. All my girls at the party, look at that body, shaking that thing like you never did see. Got a nice package, alright.
Edit.
4, 3, 2, 1.
And you are listening to a song which is a Facebook happy birthday request from Isaiah Mohammed, and it is dedicated to a friend in Nigeria. In fact, he says, dedicate the song to my lovely fiance and send a happy birthday out to her. So Isaiah Mohammed's fiance, that was Janet Jackson, and it's dedicated to you for your birthday. So happy birthday. Thanks for listening to Border Crossings. We're out of time for today. Thank you, Taylor Barrett, for joining us earlier. I'm Larry London. Thanks to our producer-director, Felicia, who put the show together today, and to you for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow right here on Border Crossings. This is the VOA One Music Network.
Join Larry on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Larry London.